Good morning. This morning, I want to turn to 1 Corinthians 11. Sisters, this is a chapter that's often used to kind of preach to the sisters, okay? Don't be too afraid. Trying to get the man today. Let's see. When I was working in deaf culture, it was very important to clean up behind you, that there wasn't roaming space for the eyes. Okay. All right, good. Okay. Praise the Lord. Let's open up our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11. Verse 3. I think this verse has much more of importance than all the rest of the chapter, really, if we understand what this is saying. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. That's a headship order, which today I like to bring that point across first, and then if I get through with that, then I like to go into daily warfare, or somewhat together. So I'm having my topic today about order and authority and daily warfare. My desire is that I could bring you to a place that you would understand the two things. Authority, order of authority. What it does and what it doesn't, what it does and what it does not do, very, very important. And daily warfare. It could be a little bit of two different subjects. I don't know how I would be led. My desire is that the Spirit would lead me as I'm teaching. This is a very important subject, a much deeper subject than it is easily understood. My desire would be that I could bring you to the level that the Lord has laid a message on my heart. I don't know how that is going to go, but I'm willing to bow my head now and pray that the Lord could lead me in His Spirit, that we could come to the depths of understanding this part as He would want us to understand today. Let's bow our heads. Our Father, we come to you this morning. I know that you have put this message into my heart. Over the last years, I've been living a Christian life. I've been learning a lot of it. I know that you have taught me a lesson. You have taught me this message. And my desire is that I'll be able to convey this message to a group of people that are sitting in this building. In the name of Jesus, I pray that I could have a clear understanding on how to do that. Especially the part of authority, the order of authority, the power thereof. And I also pray that later when we would get to look into daily warfare, that I could find words, pictures, word pictures, whatever is needed to bring the message across. My desire would be that a message could come across, our understanding could come across much rather than amount of words. Lord, I pray I could bring this message across. And today I'll try to do it with words. In the name of Jesus, give me the right words. And if there's something to draw on the board or just show out, then I just pray, be with me as I go. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Today, the first part I want to talk about is man losing their head. That's a much, much bigger problem than we are thinking. That the men are losing their head. Headship? We're talking about headship, right? So it's the head. They're losing their head. And it is just as bad as that. I think it is. Oftentimes, the woman would push the man, and it's just about as if the head just drops off. I've been seeing that in my life often. I've been seeing that in other men's life, that there's probably not even as much as a push, and then the head is gone. And if you would pause and think about it, how hard of a crash could you have that your head would actually just fall off, your very own head? It's loose, yes, but it doesn't fall off that easy. It stays on there. It's pretty strongly attached. I believe in the spiritual authority order. The head should be able to tolerate lots of abuse before it falls off. I'm not trying to say that we should look for abuse, but such a thing as people are challenging you to the left and to the right, I don't think that the head should be falling off too easy. Five years ago, I was in our little house in Blees, which we were using at the Institute. It was not our house. I was in the house. Me and my wife had been talking. And I remember leaving the house, and I was feeling very angry inside. And I was walking along the driveway doing some farm work or something. I was thinking, how in the world does this work? At that time, I was a little bit chubbier. And I was thinking to myself, if my wife would literally hang on my back pockets, my pants would still stay on. But if I came into the spiritual realm, she barely could say a word. And it was as if my buckle just flopped. And I felt like just hiding, and I was very, very angry. I felt like blaming her that she was not submissive. Well, probably she wasn't submissive, but I was very, very angry, and I lost my authority just like that. I was very frustrated. I know we've been preaching and preaching and preaching so often about women, submit yourselves to the husband or whatever. That's a very common message. It's being preached all over. But until I saw this, what was happening, my spiritual pants, if I could say, had not the right fit. Ways how I could prove this, somewhat like this. Well, not just I'll try mention a couple ways of how it happens. My wife would come and she would have a suggestion. Let's do it this way. And I would say, oh no, why are you telling me what to do? And I'm the man, I'm the one in charge. And I would say, oh no, we're not going that way. Or I might see it is the right way to go, but if I'll go that way, I feel threatened that I am submitting myself to her, and then I'll go that way. You may think that's foolish. Well, we are probably shoveling around with that more than we realize. If I will then now do that, what my wife advised me to do, that's like I'm submitting myself to her rather than she to me, and that could cause you to be angry, or it did me, cause me to be angry. And then I'm not quite sure what I was doing, but that was just a little way. And then there's another part that men do that don't have the leadership, but they act as if they have. They will always say the yes, and they always say the no, and they'll just count the shots going forward, and the lady just has to walk along, and whatever is right or whatever is left doesn't matter. He's counting the shot because he's the man, and he says yes and no, that he's fallen. He does not have the spiritual authority. He is probably performing in head knowledge, but he does not have the head that we have here from God and from Christ, and then from Christ to man and then woman. There's another way. I don't know. I think the very same term is used here amongst yourselves too. I could guess, but I from my culture, there the husband, he's leading, right? He's leading, and he does not have the armor of headship on himself, but he's leading. So he'll walk over to his wife and say, "So what do you say?" And he'll ask his wife, "So what would you say?" He's leading, right? So what are you thinking? And then she says, and then he's just the microphone. He's verbalizing what the wife says. That's the only thing he does. And he makes it look as if he's in charge, but he's not in charge. He has to go and check out, see what the wife says, and then he does verbalize it, but he's not in charge. It is the woman that is in charge. Whatever she would say goes for the home. And that's a very, very common problem, that whatever mom says, mom has the answer. And if that's the case, that mom has the answer, we could now go and preach to mom, say, "Hey, stop being the head of the home." But the problem is, head. I often felt threatened by this, and to be honest, it was true, and it is still true in many, many homes. I would know that the mom is running the home from behind the scene, if not from the front of the scene, but behind the scene. She's running it. It is true. In many, many homes it does. And it's even so bad that some women grow beards. I mean, they're so bossy. I mean, I think it's been enrooting into their spirits beyond reality.
Their whole system is...
So we did have this problem. We did have this problem at home, that my wife wanted to tell me what to do, but
whenever I said, oh no, the Bible says I am the head, there was a great conflict because she wanted to tell me what to do. And then I said, oh no, I am the head. And then it was like we were crashing there. And that's when I felt that I had no authority whatsoever left. And I had to walk away blank. And I said, Lord Jesus, if this is true, then I can change. And I'm not quite sure how I've been walking through it, but this was where we were having daily warfare. And I like to show you something here on the blackboard. And this is very real. And we often don't think about it too much. There's God. And then there's His Son, which is Jesus. And then comes man and woman. This is a real, real problem. Now, by the grace, I think it is, I have not been trying to watch you real closely if you are having this problem in your home. So I really don't know of anybody that I can tell, oh yes, you are the one. So just be free and listen. If it is you, then let the Spirit teach you. So if I give out, okay, because she had something to say, and then where do I go? I tend to tell Jesus what to do, hoping that He's going to go up there somewhere and they're going to change this whole structure of Godhead all around. That woman is going to tell man, and man is going to tell Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ is hopefully going to tell God what to do through the Holy Spirit. We try to communicate that. This is something that we need to repent, and it comes in a reversed way, just like in John. Is it John? I think so. Jesus was tempted and led into the wilderness. Yeah, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. It's not John. Matthew 4. I think I was having the Luke reference, but if it's Matthew 4. Luke 4. Okay, I thought I had it in my paper here, but I don't see it, so we'll go there. Luke 4. This is what my desire would be, that the Spirit would teach you if this is a problem in your home. Because the way the devil tempts, the first time Jesus talks to the devil, he says, it is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. It is written. God uses this against Satan. It is written. Now, seems like Satan has an idea. It must be written. Otherwise, he'll be bucked off right away. So he comes, and then he says, in verse 11, verse 10, he says, "For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone." It is written. Satan tells you it is written. This is the very tricky part of enemy, of the enemy. It is written. Your temptation can come in a reverse way. Just as I was saying that some men are leading out just 1, 2, 3, and they're running the course. Maybe they're all out because they're running the course. It could be that they have it reversed on them. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say, but not just think about it, and if the Lord brings something to you, that's good. It might not be that way. I believe. I know that many of us brothers, we've been taking up responsibilities by choice, and if we do that, the Lord is very faithful in leading us in almost any directions and cleaning us up and making us live better, more like Christ. And now I want to come to, I'll leave this with the headship of man and woman. I'm not sure. Have you been able to follow, or are you getting confused? You're pretty close. Okay. All right. This is where warfare comes in. In Matthew, the Lord talks about the right hand and the left hand, and in this case, we'll just put the soul. I mean, that there's a left and there's a right, and let's put God for the right side. This is the right side for me. It might be left for you, but then this is the left for this side. And there's warfare upon us all the time. The right and the left, the good and the bad, God and Satan. There's warfare upon us all the time. And if we realize that things like this are going on in our life, then very, very likely that this conflict that I was talking about, now I'm bringing myself here, happens a number of times throughout the day. And in that case, we have to constantly, by choice, make a decision if we want to become righteous by God, or if we just want to let go and be a loser by the enemy. To back up that there's constant a war between or on both sides of us, that is in Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnal minded is that, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So there is the good and there is the bad. I'd like to come back to verse 3 once more. This one, I have not studied all the way through if I have everything in it, but there's a point that I would like you to see, and it has to do with authority, structure, and the point that I want you to see, I would want you to get the point redder than if I have said it right. Please understand what I'm trying to say rather than what I'm saying. If you could do that, that'd be very helpful. Again, there's God, Jesus Christ, and the way He communicates with us is the Holy Spirit. And with whom does He communicate? With man and woman. Make this to plural. And this is a place where lots of failure happens. I'll first try to bring out the good part, the good side. There are men that listen to the Holy Spirit, understand what Jesus Christ and God have to say. They are listening to God and to man what they have to say. And let's say this is brother, this is a brother, this is a sister, another sister, and a brother and sister. And it forms church. Right? This is the church. They are listening to the Holy Spirit what God has to say. And it forms church. And there's church life. I believe church is born out of believers. I don't believe that the church gives birth to believers, if you understand what I'm trying to say. I believe that church comes by you obeying God and you listening to what God has to say makes church. I don't think that there's church and then somehow church makes you obey God. I think by listening to the Word of God and by listening to what the Lord has to say, that is how there's a church. Now, this is the bad side that often happens. And that is, people somehow have put in church up here. They somehow believe church is, there's God and then Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Yes, they're up there. But then we have a church. We obey and we listen to the church. And the church. And it's as if the heaven closes is right there because church. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. But now there's a bunch of men. People, they come together and they make up ideas and ways of living, and they say, okay, this is church. Now we have to obey the church, and we have to listen, and we have to do what the church tells us what to do. And they have altogether forgotten that they have to listen to the Holy Spirit to make church. Are you getting my point? Thank you. Thank you. I just want so you understand what I'm trying to say. And now there are people that are not willing to listen to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit because their church has something there that tells them they can't go there, a rule or law or something. And they are stopping there and they're starting to waste their life by obeying the church, which is... it should be the product of rather than the authority of or above. Okay? And they're wasting their life and it becomes something that is hovering over them. And they're having fellowship with it. And they are obeying it. And they are worshiping it big time. Lots of worship in some of this. There's some that just really worship their church. And what can that be? If you worship something, then that is idolatry, isn't it? Okay. There are men that have this made to their idol, and they are worshiping it constantly, every time, almost throughout all the day. And they are not in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, but they are in fellowship with this church that is pressing them down, and they are much more aware of listening and obeying the church than listening and obeying God. And if anything of that has happened in your life, you know, it's a good thing. Can I tell you a good thing to do? Just repent of it. That's not a big deal. You can repent of it, and you can turn away from it. Yes. And that's where daily warfare comes in. If you see, oh, yeah, that's right. By the way, I am buying these pair of shoes because I know that grandma or granddaddy or mom is going to think of me and this so and so and so. Okay, all right. I bow myself and I do. I fail. And if you're catching yourself doing it, it's then a good time to say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. And that's why I'm telling you that there is always two sides at you present. And you are almost as if you're in the center. You're constantly making choices. And if you're catching yourself doing something wrong, it's the best thing to right there and then confess and repent and say, oh, Lord, that's right. I'm doing it wrong. And I'm sorry. How would you want me to do? And maybe it is true that he doesn't want you to buy that shoes. Maybe it's the Lord's idea too, not just grandma's. But if you're doing it because of grandma, you're doing wrong. But if you're doing it because of the Lord, then you're doing it right. And it could go into shoes, it can go into music, it can go into... I had a little list here. I don't know. Let's see if that's worth looking at. Yeah, putting a little extra on your dress, or you're not doing it. Okay, that's both ways just as bad. I am not changing my dress, or I am changing my dress. It's both is just as bad. I can't tell that one or the other is more or worse, because you're doing it for something else in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can become so proud of that you are not doing the bad stuff. And then we have a nice story about that, looking in Luke 18:10-14, where the Pharisee went down to the temple to pray, and we know the story. That's how the Lord Jesus Christ looks at that. You're losing. Yeah, and I was making my point already. I don't do this, or I do this, or I want this, and it is every decision that we're making is driven by one or the other. There is not such a thing as a neutral. There is not such a thing as a neutral decision. If you are deciding to do this or to do that, it is driven by one or the other. And that is not a bad thing. That's a good thing. The good thing is you decide by which one you want to be ruled. It's not that hard. And we can, living a daily warfare, we can constantly, all the time, be aware of, I'm making choices. By what power do I want to be ruled? There's two powers in this world. Okay. Now, I like to talk about submission too, because probably if there's such a thing as the wife doesn't know how to submit to me, if that's the case, then probably I don't understand how to submit to authority myself. Because if I know how to submit to authority, then there is not a problem because I understand what authority is and I know my place and I can take my place. And then it's not a problem if somebody else tries to buck me because he can, because I know my place. If you're losing, it's because you don't know the battle. You don't know your battlefield. To be honest, I believe lots and lots of battles are fielded. Lots and lots of battles are lost on this field. That's what I want to say. Where, or mine is, just like in Romans 8, verse 6, it was saying for to be carnal minded. Minded is the real thing here. Being carnal minded is that, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So it's the matter of how you're minded. And what else can you do if you're minded to constantly think about it? Our responsibility is to be minded. Think about it. What side are you going for? And sometimes we don't know if it is bad, and sometimes we don't know if it is good. I don't know, but you can put a gauge, or you can make a little scale on your life and say there's 1, 2, 3, 4, and then we have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Now, you can have a little bit bigger of a range of choice to understand what it is for you. You just ask yourself, if you don't know, is it black or gray? This is the black and gray. This is the gray area, I should. This is good, and this is bad, right? You do have a line in yourself. There are very few things that are just right where you just don't know. Really. It is a little good. It is a little bit more good. Oh no, which way are we going? Okay, this is good, and this is getting bad, bad, bad. And this is starting to become evil. Okay. So, we know where our things start to become bad. We can feel that in our spirit. And it can be different from me and from you. It could be different where it is starting. But you can feel that in your spirit where it starts to become gray. And I'm not trying to say that we want to live in here. If by any choice you can come over into this area where it is not a question, that is much better for you. I just wanted to speak a little bit about submission. That is a word often misunderstood. You know what? There's a word called love in the world. And do you know what that word means for lots and lots of people? It plainly means dirty sex. That's what the word means for them. If they would see anywhere written up on a sign, love, that's the only thing their mind can tell them. It's dirty, it's ugly. But love is that, we want it, whatever. Submission is messed up in our minds somewhat. Probably not as bad as love is messed up in the world. But submission is messed up. The word submission is messed up in our midst. That we don't understand what submission is. Submission is our power, really. Submission is the tremendous strength that you have in you. Okay, let's just... it's sometimes hard to understand. But James 4, verse 7... says submit. And the very good thing is, if we are on the good side, If we are on this side, I should have written my numbers that way, but if we are on the good side, and if you submit, you only submit to more deeper goodness. Did you think about it ever? If you are on the evil side, if you submit, you will always submit to worse. So if you're on the good side, and if you then submit, what are you doing? You're cleaning yourself. You're making you... Yeah. Verse 7, chapter 4. Of James. Now, here's a little bit of warfare going on. I like to say, oh, I'm not so good in my scriptures paging up here, and I like to make all kinds of excuses, but did you know that that's the enemy's voice talking to me? It is not the beloved Lord Jesus Christ saying, hey, Reynold, you're not so good in paging these pages. That's not the Lord Jesus Christ that talks that way. We have to recognize what we're doing. The Lord Jesus Christ does not talk to that way to us. It is the enemy trying to make us say these things. If I am a preacher or I am standing up to preach, and I say, what kind of excuses are we always finding if we stand up? And we find excuses and we verbalize them. We're verbalizing just simply something that the enemy is whispering into our ears. The Lord Jesus Christ wants us to speak things that are driven by His Spirit. We are a submitter of one or other spirit all the time. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a very simple verse. I'm afraid that we still don't understand what submission means, but I'll try, just have a little story here, or a picture, or whatever. It's not a story, really, but just looking at a horse. A horse is very strong, right? Compared to you. A horse is very strong. I don't know what it would take 10 men to pull the same as a horse. I don't know. Edward, how much does it take? Do you know? Any clue? You never pull the plow, see how many men it takes to pull the plow? Okay. Well, anyways, a horse is very strong. It could pull a lot, lots more than me. A strong wild horse is good for nothing but to feed on lots of grain and kick the dust. A wild horse doesn't do anything else than just eat and run away. And then, if this strong horse submits itself to a weaker and older man, a weaker man than he, and an older man than he, if this horse submits himself to it, do you know what happens? He can plow lots of acres in his lifetime. And he still can eat the same grain and still kick the same dust. Did you ever think about it? He didn't lose anything. Just get something accomplished. And that's what it is if you submit to authority. You accomplish. You're not losing. And if you feel like that you're losing, if you're submitting to authority, if you're feeling that, then there is a war going inside of you that is crossing your understanding and saying, hey, if I submit to authority, I'm losing. It is, if something like that crosses in your mind, you know what? You're conquering the enemy. No, you're encountering the enemy. That's what I want to say. If something like that happens in your life, that say, hey, this is running across each other, like, it doesn't make sense. Or if you're finding yourself, your mind is thinking something, you say, oh no, that can't work. But you know it is scriptural. If there's a conflict in you, there is never a conflict driven by the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you're finding a conflict in yourself, then you know that you're in your warfare. Then you're battling with yourself. Not with yourself. Then there's warfare in your mind. You know what? If you have no place where you can submit yourself to, then it's a big question if you're on that side. If that's the case, that you cannot find a place where you can submit yourself to, then it is very likely that you're on this side. Very likely that you're on this side, because that's exactly what the devil did. He could not submit himself to God, and he wanted to be above, and he was aiming for the higher. And if that's what you're doing, you're in the party. It's not a big deal. You can understand that. It's simple. If you cannot submit yourself, then you know on what side you are. Now, this is a real part of warfare. This is a real part of the story. I just like to draw another picture here. This is a wheel and it has its hub. What I'm trying to tell you, that what I'm speaking here this morning is part of the wheel. And in my spirit, and in what I believe, I really believe, very close to the opposite side, there's another spoke. These are spokes, right? Okay. I really, really believe. So if you come up with something that tells almost exactly the opposite, well, praise God, we have to make this wheel finish. I'm not trying to say, but I'm not trying you to go and find out, see if you could find something that breaks this down. But what I'm trying to say is, I was not trying to focus on all the spokes of the Christian wheel. I was trying to bring across one point that causes us lots of warfare and misunderstanding, not getting to anywhere. I just was trying to bring a point across. Submitting to authority and the daily warfare kind of mixed together. Not everything quite separated, but I believe that's what I have to share today. May the Lord teach you what is truth and what is right, because it's in John. Now I'm a bit spiritual. I'm able to quote the scripture without looking in my Bible. John, that's from the enemy. John 8:32 says that the truth shall make you free. And if this will make you to be enlightened in an area that you say, I'm able to understand, that helps your will to become strong. And that's what my desire is. Psalms 119:11 says basically the very same thing, if I have the scripture right. That's right. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. That simply means I understand what the Lord, I understand. I understand this side, this party, and I'm here. It says, I understand, I have hidden. I'll read this verse as it says here. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. It does not say that I have memorized or I have an understanding of what it says in the scripture, but it says in my heart, and that's where it comes, and we understand it from the depths of our heart, and all of a sudden We know when to say no and we know when to say yes in specific areas. That's when the scripture is hidden in our heart, thy word, it says, that I might not sin against thee. Therefore, I have hidden the word, and we only have those things hidden in our heart that all you that have been driving for years, whenever you come to a stop sign, you would all thinking you step on the brakes. And if you want to make a curve, you're going towards home, you switch on the flashers without even thinking. That is when the word of God is in your heart. That you come to a decision, you point, you come to a place where you don't even think about, and you make the right choice. And I'm convinced that there's many brothers in the benches sitting here that can do that in their spiritual life. But then there are those that come to... they call it the temptation. And then they don't know which way to go. Then if there's a temptation, you don't know which way to go, you know that there's not all truth revealed in your heart. You need more answers for your life, because if the truth was in your heart, if it was hidden in your heart, it would be there right away and you would know which way to turn. So that's my encouragement. My message that I wanted to drop off here for you, which I believe the Lord put in my heart. Thank you.